Turn to Acts chapter 6, if you would, in your Bibles. Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6 will be brief tonight. And instead of following our Philippians study tonight, because I knew we would lack a little time, let's talk a little bit. A little challenge to our seniors tonight. And really, of course, applies to all of us as we think about what is an effective Christian, or how do we be an effective Christian. And Brother Adam, that's your title, an effective Christian. An effective Christian. Acts chapter 6, verse 1. And in those days when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, and goes on to tell you those that they chose. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to meet together in the house tonight. We thank you for these seniors. What a blessing it is to see the pictures and just to see them as they have accomplished this great period in their life. I pray, God, that you would just help them, strengthen them, encourage them, guide them as they go forward in the next step in their young lives. I pray, God, for wisdom in their lives. We pray tonight that each of us would yearn to be effective Christians. In Jesus' name, amen. As I think about being an effective Christian, number one, we'll just start off by saying, if you want to be an effective Christian, you follow in Jesus' steps. I mean, that's pretty well, if you get down to the crux of it, you can summarize everything. Just follow Jesus. Just follow in His steps. Do what Jesus would do. And we see here in Acts chapter 6, we know this is talking about deacons being called, but the application applies as we think about effectiveness. That as they chose these men, because these men were effective in that church body. They had influence in that church body. These were credible men. These were men who were spiritual and wise and honest and humble and men of faith. And as you think about that, that's all the characteristics that we should have. And whether we're seniors fixing to go off into college or whether we're just Christians going to work on Tuesday morning. Not Monday, Tuesday. Some are going Monday, some are getting double time. But as we walk into the office or walk into the factory or where we're going, walking into the store as a salesman, that we should be, and we should yearn to be, we should long to be, effective Christians. As we think about that again, it's following Christ's steps. As we think about following in His steps, Jesus Christ came not to be ministered unto, but to what? Minister. Jesus Christ was a servant. And I think if we were to sum up how we should follow in His steps, we should follow in His steps by being a servant. Being a servant. Being a servant to all those around us. As we think about these men who were chosen here in the first church that Jesus Christ started, and as we think about this for a moment, we think about, number one, they had influence. Influence. He said, choose out men. And this would be men of influence, those among the people who were faithful to the church, those who were faithful to God. This influence they had was given to them and developed through them by the Holy Spirit. By the way, you can only be a person of influence as you yield to the Holy Spirit. That's it. If you allow the Spirit to control your life. As it was said Wednesday night, I believe, by Brother Peoples or Dr. Barber, I don't remember who, but the Holy Spirit comes and indwells us at salvation. And you never gain any more Spirit throughout the rest of your Christian life. It just, what we do is we allow the Holy Spirit to continue to gain ground in our own lives. In other words, we have all this Holy Spirit we'll ever have, but it's, again, how much does the Holy Spirit have of us that matters. And as we yield to Him, He will allow us to influence. You think about that for a moment. You think about Daniel in the Old Testament. Daniel had influence as he lived a godly life and stood for the Lord. He purposed in his heart that he would not defy his body with the things of that were wrong. And so as he purposed in his heart, as he did what was right, he had influenced those around him. Even in the Babylonian government, he influenced those. Influence. Influence is given to us by the Holy Spirit as we yield to Him. Number two, these men were credible. The Bible says there were men, choose you out, men of honest report. Honest report. Can I tell you, teenagers, seniors, you'll get a lot further ahead if you'll just be honest. It's been years ago, this would be in like 1991, and I've seen other surveys since then of, surveying top 500 companies in America and what they look for in employees. And every time, the top one or two things that employers are looking for is integrity. Integrity. They want people who are honest. People of integrity. By the way, if you're a person of integrity, you're worthy of leadership. Worthy of leadership. By the way, the same thing goes for all of us. If you'll live an honest life, if you'll be a person of integrity, then you're worthy of leadership. And you'll have influence. You'll be effective. It's hard for a hypocrite to be effective. Hard for a hypocrite to be effective. So they were credible. Number three, they were spiritual. Choose you out among you, men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost. Full of the Holy Ghost. They were to choose out men who were filled with the Spirit. Again, what does that mean? Exactly what I said a while ago. Men who were controlled, yielded to the Holy Spirit. As we yield to the Holy Spirit, as we yield to Him, God's grace enables us to be effective. We're not merely effective because we're people of honest report. We're not merely effective because we're Christians. It's Christ enabling us that makes us effective. Everyone with me? In other words, it is the Holy Spirit as we yield to Him who enables us to be effective. See, grace is God's unmerited favor. But that's not just the whole definition of the word grace. It's God's unmerited favor even unto enablement. See, I'm saved by grace through faith. Amen? But I'm also given grace that empowers me to live an effective Christian life. It is grace that not only that I've been saved by grace, God's unmerited favor, but it is grace that enables me, that empowers me to live an effective Christian life. I would tell you as Christians, we ought to pray for grace. Grace is not something in our life that gives us a free ticket to live how we want to. Paul said, how shall we say then? How shall we continue in sin that grace should abound? God forbid. God forbid. We're not given grace as some of the new doctrine out there today. There's a grace movement all across the country. I know I say this every once in a while, and some of you say, preacher, would you just stop talking about it? I promise you, if you go down to Lifeway right now and you buy 10 books on grace, 5 or 6 or 7 of them are going to be absolutely worthless. Need to be thrown in the garbage. Because they're now preaching this new, it's not new, it's been around forever, that grace, because we've been saved by grace and we're living by grace, therefore God's grace is freely given to us and you can live how you want and it's all pie in the sky and butterflies and wings and you know. No, grace isn't given to us to live how we want to live. It's not a license to go out and drink and party and tattoo up and do all the things the world does. I was just watching a special today on how cocaine is back on the rise again. You know how it was in the 80s? It's right back up there again, especially in Europe. It's become the new drug again because it's so much cheaper now than it used to be. I just think about that for a moment. I hear Christians all the time say, well, I don't have to follow the rules anymore. I'm saved by grace. And so listen, you don't have to do anything. You ought to want to do it. If you love me, you keep my commandments. Grace does not give us a life to do what we want to. Grace is given to us to empower us to live a godly life. It's grace that empowers us to be effective Christians. Listen, you should pray for God's grace that will enable you to live a righteous life. To live a holy life. We need teenagers, we need seniors who will graduate from high school and go off into college and be effective Christians. And not just lay down at everything that comes across your path and not give in to society and give in to some liberal teacher that may be teaching you a bunch of hocus pocus stuff. And there's a bunch of them out there, even in Texas. Some of our seniors have come back in their first year in Bible college, whether they've gone to
North Texas or UT or wherever they've gone. And man, it's plaguing the nation. Listen, stand up. Pray for God's grace to enable you and empower you to live right and do right and empower you to have faith in the Bible, to never waver from your stand on the Word of God, that this is God's roadmap for life. Not some textbook, not some biology book, not some chemistry book, but this is the greatest science book on earth. Amen, Brother Patrick? I know he believes that. It's grace that will enable you, the Spirit of God who will enable you to live a godly life. They look for Spirit-filled men, men full of grace. It's the grace of God that will enable you to do things and say things that you would not normally say. It's the grace of God that will enable you to do things that you wouldn't normally do. Like, talk to somebody in the elevator about Jesus. Hand somebody a track. It's God's grace that enables you to do that. It's God's grace that enables you to stand up and say something when appropriate in college. They look for men who were filled with the Spirit. Are you filled with the Spirit tonight? If you're going to be effective as a Christian, you need to be filled with the Spirit. And then number four, they sought out men who were, the Bible says there, men of wisdom. Full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. I won't spend a whole lot of time here, but we absolutely, James says, we ought to pray. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Wisdom comes from God. Wisdom is the ability to apply knowledge. Again, I've said this a few weeks ago, that I see a lot of people who are very, very book smart, but it's hard to find somebody who is wise. And I'm glad I grew up under a man, and you saw pictures of my son with my pawpaw. I think was one of the wisest men I've ever met. Had an 8th grade education, but if not the wisest man I ever met, right there the top 5 or 6. The man was amazing. The man was wise. He had the ability to apply knowledge. And that was not merely born in him, that was given to him by God. My papa had an 8th grade education, yet became the district or the state manager of the state of Kansas for the largest independent oil company in the world at the time. And worked there for years and years. An 8th grade education. And by the way, he would tell you, if he was still alive, I'm looking forward to seeing him in heaven, he would tell you education is important. He encouraged all of us, go to college. But understanding that an education is an education is very, very important. But wisdom comes from God. Ask for wisdom. Ask for wisdom. You say, well, why should I need wisdom? Wisdom also comes with it direction for life. It comes with it guidance. If you want guidance in life, if you want direction in life, ask for wisdom. Then number five, men who were humble. In order to be chosen as a servant, you must be humble. You must be humble. Humility is one of those things when you know you got it, you don't have it. You lost it, right? Humility. They were chosen. These men were chosen to be servants. They were chosen to serve others as Christ served others. I again want to encourage you, seniors, Christians, if you want to be effective, be a servant. Small things matter too. I'm still surprised. Every once in a while, at least 2 or 3 times a year, I get a comment. And thank the Lord for my kids. And they're not perfect. But I get a comment from somebody about my children. He will say, your kids sure are kind. Your kids sure are polite. Your kids sure are servants. It's small things like opening doors for people. Just small things. Big things like stacking chairs. We stacked more chairs last year than I've stacked in my entire life. Be a servant. Go out of your way to do something for somebody else. You want to be effective in your Christian life? Be a servant. Jesus Christ came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. I challenge you seniors, as you go forward in whatever college or whatever you decide to do, be a servant. Be a servant. Lastly, these were men of faith. I'm telling you, as Christians, we must be people of faith. Faith in the Word of God. I'm telling you, Our society is plagued in the upper education of America today. And I'm telling you, some of you will go to colleges. Some of you will be influenced by professors who don't believe this. And they'll say, because you believe in it, that you're a moron. That's when faith kicks in. I'm not moronic. I'm just captivated by the Master. And I'm captivated by this book. This is the greatest book on earth. Unparalleled it stands. It's author God, it's truth divine, inspired in every word and line, though writ by human hands. This is the greatest book on earth. The Bible. The B-I-B-L-E. Remember when you was kids? Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God. The B-I-B-L-E. That stank bad. The Bible. More than ever today, in order to be an effective Christian, you must have faith. Faith. Understand what you believe and why. Stand on the Bible. Because if you stand on it, you have a solid foundation every time. Amen. Let's all stand. Take My Life and Let It Be. Is there a hymn number for that? I Surrender All. I'm sorry. Whatever number that is. Brother Wiggins will tell us. I want to encourage you parents who would like to. You could come and pray with your senior. Whatever the Lord touches your heart to do. I ask that each of you, even if you don't come to the altar, pray for our seniors. Pray for those who continue forward that God would lead and guide them. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you tonight for your love for us. We thank you that you've given us a roadmap and guide. Help us, Lord, to stand firm on your word. We pray that we would be effective Christians, that we would be people of influence, and Lord, that we would live lives that are honest, and that we'd be filled with the Spirit, and that we'd pray and gain wisdom from you. Lord, help us to be humble. Help us to be people of faith. And all that we do, we'll give you the credit. In Jesus' name, amen.